Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want us to go this morning in our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. It seems like, and it may not happen every year, but it seems like generally around about every year, maybe a year goes by that I don't, but generally the Lord has me to come back and to teach a series on answered prayer. Thank you for your enthusiasm. This is good. You need answered prayer, amen? And so I'm going to start that this morning, and I'm not sure how many messages we'll preach on it, but probably at least five, maybe six. But let's go into John's Gospel 16 and verse 31. We'll begin there. And it's Jesus talking. Red. If you got a red letter edition, it's red. Amen. How many of the red letters are good?
Yes.
You know, Dr. Barclay has a book called The Red Letters. The Red Letters. Because, there's been some attack by preachers of all people against the red letters, saying they're not for us today. But you know what? Guess what? This was spoken by the Lord of the church. Are you with me now? The head of the church. So I'm just going to not listen to that. I'm going to listen to the head of the church. And I'm not going to let somebody tell me that what he said doesn't apply to me. Hallelujah. He is the word. Praise God. And he's the one that said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so I'm going to believe that. Amen. You know, I need to rightly divide it, of course, and make sure that I'm rightly dividing it and applying it, but it's for me. Amen. And it's for you. Now, John 16, Jesus said, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Now, what day is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the day of his resurrection. When he would be raised from the dead, because that's what he's been talking about here in John chapter 16. And he says, in that day that I'm resurrected, you won't ask me anything. Now, up until this time, if the disciples needed something or had a question, they asked Jesus because he was right there. But he said, there's coming a time you will ask me nothing. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, or, you know, this word verily, verily, the New King James says most assuredly. But you know what? It means amen, amen. Amen, amen. It's the word amen. I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Doesn't it bring joy when your prayers get answered? Now, there's probably not any person in here or listening to my voice that hasn't had a prayer that seemingly didn't get answered. Probably not anybody. Probably every one of us have prayed for things and maybe it didn't seemingly come to pass. But Jesus said it's possible to have answered prayer. He said it's possible. Matter of fact, he was confident about it. He said, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This is better preaching, you're all saying amen. Now, that is the head of the church telling us that. So I always know that when what Jesus said and what, if you want to say it this way, reality is in my life don't mesh, then it's on my end. It's not on his end. And if you don't know that, if you don't start with that, you can be hopelessly confused. I've always said, if I pray for 10 people if I pray 10 people line up, the first 9 I pray for die when I lay hands on them, I'll pray for the 10th one if they'll hang around. They may be plumb gone by then. You know what I'm saying? But if they stick around, because I still believe the word. I'm not going to lie to you. I prayed for people that they didn't get healed. They didn't. Let me back up. They didn't receive their healing. I prayed for people. They didn't receive their deliverance or their miracle or whatever I have. But I prayed for plenty that did. And the last I checked, it wasn't my job or your job to bring it to pass. Our job was to obey the word, to do what the scriptures say. Amen. And so whenever I've had prayers that seemingly weren't answered, then, you know, I know it's not God missing it. You know, one thing, you have to make sure what you're asking is really in the word. Amen. I've told this story before. I had a couple one time many, many, many years ago, before Phyllis and I were ever married, so it's been a long time ago, that wanted me to go with them and pray that this bank would give them all of its money. Now, you know, if I could do that, I'd do it for me first. I don't mean to be selfish, but I'd try it out on me first to make sure it works. Then you could pick your own bank out. You know, the old West, they used to do that, except they didn't pray. They just went in there and took it, you know. But does anybody understand that that's foolishness? Because there isn't any promise in the Word for that. Amen? And so Jesus was confident. He was confident of answered prayer. And so, you know, I'm just going to title these messages Answered Prayer 1, Answered Prayer 2, Answered Prayer 3, Answered Prayer 4, Answered Prayer 5, and all that, because it's just easier to do it that way. And then, you know, but there's literally subtitles of what I'm going to talk about. In other words, there's each one of these teachings, there's going to be something I specifically, the Lord has me specifically going after. Now, this morning, what I want to talk about is lifestyle. If I say lifestyle. And what I want to show you from the Word and is this, that how our lifestyle affects our prayer life. It affects our prayer life. It has something to do with it. Now, we're going to look at some scripture this morning. Is that all right? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, and we're just talking about lifestyle. Say it again, lifestyle. Lifestyle has something to do with your prayer life, how you live. Now, I say that just based on what the scripture says. You know, the Bible, someone said one time, it's a brilliant statement, said, for something to be scriptural, it has to have scriptures. I'll give him credit. I always say somebody, but it was Keith Moore. And I'm thinking, you know, I heard Brother Hagin say one, or no, Brother Copeland say one time, said, I wish I'd have thought of that. But that's powerful. If it's going to be scriptural, it's got to have something. It's got to have scriptures. And so I want to show you the scriptures that talk about how lifestyle, or some of the scriptures, that talk about how lifestyle has an effect on our prayer life. Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. The Bible says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. In other words, let's be doers of the word. And hereby we shall know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. In other words, I mean, no, God's not condemning you, but your heart will. Your heart, your spirit knows if you're living the lifestyle. And he says, if our heart's condemning us over something, God's greater than our heart, and he knows more than our heart knows. He's bigger than that. Now, he went on to say, beloved, verse 21, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. See, it's not a matter that God says, I'm not gonna answer your prayer. I just don't want anything to do with you. It's a matter of your faith. He said, if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart. He knows all things. But if our heart doesn't condemn us, we have confidence towards God. We have confidence towards God. You know, there's something about that confidence that you know that you're living the lifestyle of God. Hallelujah. It's really important. If our prayer lives, if our prayer lives are going to be effective, then we have to have the right lifestyle. Verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And you could add to that, and we have confidence. You see what I'm saying? That's what John is talking about. He's saying, look, if you're not a doer of God's Word, then your heart condemns you. Not God. But your heart condemns you. And if your heart condemns you, you don't have confidence. And if you don't have confidence, it's going to affect your prayer life. But if you have confidence, we do what He says. Then He went on to say, verse 23, when we do His commandments, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. What if we're not keeping His commandments? What if we're not? What would that? See, that would, the opposite would be so, is we wouldn't be receiving what we ask from God. And it's not that God is like mad at us and withholding. It's the confidence thing. We didn't have any confidence. Amen. Amen. So you have to make sure that you're, you know, I know this is, you know, this may not be a shouting type message, but nevertheless, we need to know our lifestyle affects our prayer life. And I'm going to show you several scriptures as we go along to talk about this and maybe give some examples if the Lord, you know, as the Lord gives them to me. Of how this can be a hindrance to our prayer life. We need to make sure our lifestyle is the God kind of lifestyle. Amen. Amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Go there. 1 Peter chapter 3. You don't mind if we look at some scripture this morning. You know, rather than preach from one or two or three, we're going to look at several this morning. You know, at least, I don't know. Could we do like 70? No, I'm teasing. We'd be here a long time. We did 70, but we're going to look at a few. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Y'all got it? Likewise, you wives be in subjections to your own husbands. You say, Pastor, it's about time you got to that scripture. I've been waiting for a long time for you to finally get there, and there you are. It's taking you 3 or 4 or 5 years to get to this. You know. How many guys like that scripture? Likewise, you wives, be in subjections to your own husbands. Maybe we ought to explain this a little bit, you know, so that I'll survive the service and can get out to my truck. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we're supposed to be subject to one another. One another. So what does it mean? You know, because I know, you know, some people take this, some people take this to the point where a wife's supposed to be subject to her husband, which means she's got to do everything he says do. And I wish that was the truth. But, this is either going to turn out good or another message in the trash can. But the fact of the matter is, as this word subject just means to get along with. Because if it meant you had to do everything your husband said do, then that means you have to do everything I say to do and everything everybody else says to do, because the scripture tells us in Ephesians, be subject to one another. The same way it says, what's it? It's talking about being humble, have humility, get along. See, amen. You know, in the house, God. You know, in the household, in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. Now there is in life, and there is in the household. God put order in the house. The husband's supposed to be the head of the house. But now, at the same time, he's told to love his wife as Christ loves the church. So if you're trying to boss your wife around, then where's the love? Thank you, Jesus. So you have to explain these things or people get out. They get out of bounds with them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to obey me. The Bible says in the Colossians, wives obey your husbands in the Lord. See, I've even heard stories about husbands thought this scripture meant if I tell my wife to go out and get drunk, then she's got to go do it, or not go to church. You're fooling yourself. That's not what the Bible's talking about. Amen. And did you know, well, let's read on. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation or the conduct of their wives. In other words, just live, Peter said, telling wives, live the word out. If you live the word in front of your husband, they may not pay any attention to the word of God, but your lifestyle will affect them. Not nag, 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 nag. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. They got it. Just live for God. Amen. While they behold, verse 2, your chaste conversation or conduct coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair or the wearing of gold or of the putting on of apparel. Now, Peter's not saying, like some have taught, that you women can't dress up. They can't wear gold. Because if he was, he's saying they can't wear clothes. Right? He said putting on of apparel. What he's saying is don't let that be your adornment. Don't spend all your time there. Spend enough time. But don't let that be the emphasis. See, notice what he said. He says, but let it be, this is your adorning, let it be the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which are in the sight of God of great price. Now, that'd be true for men, too. Men, outward adornings, too. I mean, the same thing. And I'm going to show you that Peter says this goes for men just as well. Verse 5. Come on, are you learning something today? Amen. Is anybody getting blessed? Amen. You really like, guys really like that part about wives being subjection to your husbands. Amen. Verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Come on, wives, just look at your husbands and say, hey, Lord. Whose daughters, did I hear like a sneer? Whose daughters... You are as long as you do well and you're not afraid with any amazement. Now, let me just stop there just for a minute. Let me stop there for a minute. See, there was even a time when God told, because I've heard this, you know, guys, well, she's supposed to be subject to me, do whatever I say, do, bless God. Yeah, we can tell by your attitude that you don't have it figured out. You need a frying pan upside your head. Now, cast iron. Here's the thing. Did you know there was a time when Sarah asked Abraham to do something and he didn't want to do it. He was grieved. He didn't want to do it. And the Lord told him, said, listen to your wife. See. See, this is a mutual thing. I heard Mona. Amen. Anyway, this is a mutual thing. See, this is a getting along. This isn't a domineering thing. Yes, the husband, somebody has to make the decisions ultimately, and the husband's the head of the house. And men, you need to put your britches on and act like it, but in love. Quit letting your kids run you too. Be the man of the house. Amen. Now listen now. Verse 7. Everybody look at that word. King James says, likewise. What does that mean? Men, you do the same thing. Come on, women, shout. Hallelujah. Likewise, you men, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. Doesn't that scripture say if you don't live right with one another? Your prayers are hindered. That's what it says. So there we go. Lifestyle. I said lifestyle. Everybody, lifestyle. That's lifestyle. In other words, if we don't, and this would go for any relationships, you know, church relationships, anything else, where you're around other people, you're supposed to get along. Amen. You're supposed to have humility. And you're supposed to honor one another. But particularly in the marriage, if you don't, he says, your prayers will be hindered. But if you do, there's something called the grace of life. There's a grace that causes life to flow smoothly. Hallelujah, when you obey the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I just thought, we'll just to this morning, you know, we'll just look at some scriptures that, you know, prove our lifestyle affects our prayer life. So we have to make sure we're living the God kind of lifestyle. Amen. So there's a lot of things we could teach on this verse. Maybe we'll go back to it and hit some things. But let's go over to John's Gospel, chapter 15. Go there, John 15. It's just important that we understand how we live does have an effect on our prayer life. This isn't taught a whole lot any longer, but it is in the Bible, more than one place, several scriptures, that we have to be sure that we're living a godly life according to the Word. Amen. Now, not a perfect life. Nobody lives a perfect life, but we don't allow things to stay that don't belong in our life. Amen. Now, John chapter 15, go there, verse 17. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now notice, he put the emphasis on answered prayer on you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it will be done unto you. It's not where I'm at. Where are you guys at?
I found where you said to go.
Where did I tell you to go? 15:7, everybody. 15. 17's good. We're going to read 16, but all right. You mean I preached all that for nothing? What? And were you there?
Yeah, I found out.
It was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah, all right. Go back, verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Once again, the you is the subject of this. See, you, if you do the right thing, you can ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. Well, what is the right thing? Well, he's talking about the Word abiding in us. He's talking about having a word-based lifestyle where we measure our lifestyle by the Word. In other words, is the Scripture okay with it? Let me just say this to you, because some people want to get in the letter of the law, but we're supposed to live by the spirit of the law. The spirit of what the law is saying. It's the spirit of what the Word is saying. Amen. Because, you get people say, well, Pastor, there is no verse in the Bible that says you can't do cocaine. No. And there's no scripture in the Bible that says you can't drink Drano. I wouldn't advise it. You see, anything that defiles the temple of God, because I've had this, I'll tell you what, But one guy, he tried to come to me and convince me. Well, let's just leave that alone. Anyway, all right, praise God. But that was years ago. But listen, we need to just, if we feed on the Word, it's like someone said, someone asked them if they thought this was wrong, doing this was wrong. And they said, well, what would your pastor think about it? Now, I ask people this, sometimes. I've said this before. If you found out what you're doing, your pastor was doing, would you be okay with it? Well, no. Well, then why would it be all right with you? Right. Is there a special, the New Testament for pastors? This is New Testament for all of us. So if you would have a problem with me doing it, then you should have a problem with you doing it. Right? You know what I'm saying? So, I don't do cocaine. Haven't done any of that since the late 70s, early 1980s. Very early 1980s. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, 81, I hadn't done any cocaine since 1981. Now, there's no scripture that says don't do cocaine, but I'm smart enough to know if it alters my mind, it's not scriptural. God wants me in a right mind. Amen. And, you know what? And y'all say amen about that, you know, and if I got on other things, you know, we all say amen. But what about other things that we do sometimes and we don't think anything about it? See, look at the, oh, hallelujah. I'm trying to think if I want to, the Bible tells us, listen to this, the Bible tells us, oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. No, this isn't my first time preaching. I know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to follow the Holy Ghost here. See, there's things that we have to understand. We have to, you know, like certain things that we do that maybe we don't think is really bad because it's not what we call one of the big sins. But I'm going to tell you what, as you get older in the Lord, He requires more out of you. You know that? You know, sometimes we think, well, okay, now I know doing that, if I was to steal or I was to commit adultery or I was to do drugs or I was to, you know, do this, go get drunk. Now, I know that'd be bad. God would frown on that. But then we'll use our mouth for things that God doesn't want us to use our mouth for. Come on now. And don't even think a thing about it. But yet, that's lifestyle, everybody. That's our lifestyle. I said, that's our lifestyle. And so John said here, Jesus said here, that is, in the book of John, He said, if you abide in Me, My words abide in you. You can ask what you will and it's going to be done unto you. If you have the God kind of lifestyle, the lifestyle of God, if you're living the lifestyle of God, does that mean we're perfect? Well, listen, let's read this, and I want to look. I really want to go to a scripture in the Old Testament. I want to read it to you. But let's read verse 16. Verse 16 of John 15. You've not chosen Me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Now, whatever you ask the Father, see, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give it unto you. What is He saying? If you have the right kind of fruit, I want you to have the right kind of fruit that whatever you ask the Father, He can give it to you. What's the right kind of fruit? It's the God kind of fruit. Amen? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the right kind of fruit. Now, let's go here because the Lord keeps pushing me, or directing me, I should say, to go to Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 60. I think it's Psalm 66. Go there. Psalm 66. Come on, are you getting a nugget out of this? Amen. See, we have to have the right kind of lifestyle. Don't just think prayer is just a matter of I learned some scriptures and, you know, I learned some promises and now I'm going to ask God, you know. Well, as a baby Christian, you know, that's probably all you need to know. But as you begin to grow, God begins to check your lifestyle. And He begins to direct you to change some things and to get rid of some things and to quit some things or add some things. And this is not preached a whole lot in the church anymore. Matter of fact, people preach against us that preach this and say we're just legalists. No, we're just scripturalists. That's all. We're not legalists, we're scripturalists. Amen. God's word hadn't changed. Are you with me now? It still says what it says. And the moment you have to start dissecting and cutting out parts of your Bibles like some preachers are doing today and say, well, this doesn't apply to this, this doesn't, forget that. When you start having to do that, where's that going to end? Everything that offends you, you don't like, you're going to get rid of. What are we going to have left? Amen. Now, I know, you know, there's one particular minister, not, you know, he's an older guy, you ought to know better, but I mean, you know, I've had respect for things that he does, but, you know, just teaching that God's unconditional love, well, God is unconditional love, but that God never does anything, He never judges or anything. Well, wait a minute. God's unconditional love, but love sometimes judges because it's the best thing. People need, judgment purifies us. You can tell me that you want, but, you know, I don't buy it. Because here's what I found out. I found out there's going to be a white throne judgment. I found out we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Apostle Paul said that. So if Paul said it, I'm not paying attention to you when you tell me we're not going to have any judgment. Right. But now here's the good thing about it. You know what? God is so merciful. You know, He forgives people I wouldn't. He heals people I wouldn't. I remember one time somebody got blessed with something, and my response was, why in the world them? That'd be the last person I'd have blessed, but anyway. Thank God, God's good. Now, you find Psalm 66. Go there. Listen to what David said, Psalm 66, verse 18. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Thank you for your shouting. If I regard, now notice what he said. Now pay attention to this. If I regard iniquity, he didn't say if I have iniquity or I miss it, God's not going to hear. No, he said if I regard it in my heart. What does that mean? Something you allow to remain. The Message translation says it this way. You know, it's just a paraphrase, but I like what it said. It says, if I'm cozy with evil, if I'm cozy with evil, God will not hear me. What does that mean? Well, all of us miss it. How many know that? But he's talking about if I regard my heart. In other words, if I've got something in my life that I know needs to go, it hindered my prayer life. Peter said it. Let your prayers be not hindered. And I had a guy tell me a real cool testimony the other day. He said, Pastor, he said, I had this pain in my side. He said, it's more towards my back, kind of back in here. And he said, you know, of course he'd prayed about it, but it didn't go away. And he said, I had it, and I don't remember what he said, 2 to 3 months or whether it was could have been 2 to 3 years. But he said, it was back there. He said, you were up preaching, and he said, all of a sudden you just kind of stopped and said, you know, if you're critical of preachers, you can't expect to be healed. He said, then you went back to preaching. He said, when you said that, I went, uh-oh, Lord, I repent right here, right now. Because he'd been critical of preachers. He said, Pastor, listen to this. This is really cool. He said, immediately I was healed. Immediately. Now see, he regarded something in his heart, right? Maybe he didn't think it was all that bad, but as you get older, have you know, God expects more out of you. I mean, it's not a matter of physical age. It's a matter of where you should be spiritually, right? I mean, I meet people that are in their teens that are spiritually more mature than people that are in their 60s and 70s.
Come on now.
Amen. What is maturity? Maturity, one of the things maturity is taking personal responsibility. In other words, you don't, yeah, it's me, Lord. Amen. Right? It's me standing in the need of prayer. Come on. See, sometimes it's like, oh, it's the other fellow. I mean, if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't be this way. No, how many know you need to take personal responsibility? A woman came to her pastor. This guy, he's a former pastor. He travels now, but he was pastoring. This may be why he's not pastoring any longer. A woman in his church came to him and said, Pastor, why does all this ugliness come out of me? He said, because it's in you. It's time to grow up, see? He doesn't pastor any longer, but anyway. People need to know the truth, right? See, we have to take personal responsibility. Well, I'm this way because, you know, I realize things happen that mess people's lives up. Don't misunderstand that. You get that, right? But it's not an excuse to stay there, right? It may be why you're there, but it's not a reason to stay there for the rest of your life. Sure, we've heard things that have passed, as ministers, of course, and as pastors, we've heard of things that happen in people's lives, and we're thinking, well, it's no wonder they're messed up. What happened to them? It messed their life up. We understand that. But don't coddle that thing. Don't do that. Don't let it mess your life up. It's like a minister said one time, he said, I was praying for people in a prayer line, and he said, I got this woman, and I think they were praying for healing for people, and she brought out the fact that her husband had done something to her, and she says, 15 years ago, and I still haven't forgiven it. And he said, well, you'll have to forgive him if you want healed. And she said, I won't do it. He said, well, then stay this way for 15 more years. Because there's nothing you can do because you have to do something, right? You know, yeah, maybe and that's a terrible thing to happen. Maybe your spouse cheated on you. You know, that's a terrible thing to happen. But you know what? Not all people are bad. It is like this one show we were watching one time. And this lady, she had broken out of prison. And her husband had done some bad things to her. Like, I think they'd gotten in a fight, which she liked to fight to herself. And she said, "I hate men." Remember her? "I hate men." Well, you know, not all men are like your former husband. So see, at some point now, you have to get over that and move on, right? Come on, this is good preaching, whether you realize it or not. Sometimes we blame, well, you know, if I'd have just had a better childhood or this or that. Well, that may be why you got messed up. That may be what opened the door. I understand things happen, but don't stay there. Come on, Jesus Christ has redeemed you. Your roots are, you know, listen, I hear about, well, it's just a generational curse. Hey, we are a chosen generation right now. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sure, you may have issues. Sure, you may have problems. But don't stay there. Don't use that. People use it as a excuse not to take personal responsibility and come out of that. Amen. I just love it when people bring their, you know, it's like, "Well, Pastor, I got this relative. I can't do anything with him. Here, you have him." Well, thank you. Or, yeah, I can't, you know, will you go pray for my... Now, I quit this a long time ago. Now, I will if the Lord tells me to. I take care of the sheep that I'm responsible for. If I pray for any other sheep, that'll be out because I want to or because the Lord direct me to. See, as a young pastor, a young minister, I thought anybody that had any problem is my responsibility to help them. And I learned that not everybody wanted help. And usually if they sick you on somebody, it's because they're the meanest one in the family. And you're about to run into some things you wish you hadn't run into. So I learned a long time ago, well, I don't know. I might not. I don't think so. I don't think I'll go. "Well, I thought you was a preacher. I thought you were supposed to walk in love." Well, get your own self over there. "Well, I don't want to go over there. They're mean. They're ugly. They're nasty." Well, I don't either. Amen. All right, this is good preaching. Now, there's been times I go to the hospital, you know, and I'm walking down the, you know, I look in somebody's room and I hear, I've had this happen where the Lord just kind of nudged me, "Go in there and pray for them," you know. "Oh, well, yeah, you know, but, you know, I'm not responsible for everybody in that hospital. I'm responsible for the sheep that God put underneath me, see, to take care of." Now, that doesn't mean I won't go pray for people. I might, but then again, I might not. Amen. All right. You're getting something today. Hallelujah. Hey, lifestyle means everything. Amen. Lifestyle. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if in other words, if I allow something to stay and remain in my life, the Lord won't hear me. Now, does that mean if I'm struggling with something? No, that's, see, you have to, there's a fine line here between struggling to get rid of something, you're battling something, your flesh is addicted to something, your flesh is hooked on something, you're trying to get free, you're working at it, but you're still falling, you're still struggling. God's on your side. He's on your side either way, but when you just, like, I like that, the message, you're cozy with it. "No, I want this. I'm going to let this stay. I like this." Then God won't hear your prayer. Amen. All right, go to Isaiah. This is good preaching today, Pastor. I know. I should take me up an offering. Hey, I think I will. Hallelujah. Isaiah 38. Come on, I'm having some fun. But anyway, you know, you understand that if we don't understand these things, this can be a hindrance to our prayer life, that we have to have the right kind of lifestyle. We have to have a God, Word-centered lifestyle. Amen. I still get shocked sometimes when I find out the way Christians live. Some of them. Most live good lifestyles, but some don't. And it shocks me still to this day. You know, it's like I've heard so many things, I shouldn't be shocked anymore, but I still, you know, when I got saved, I thought everybody in church were angels. But I found out those things sticking out in the back weren't wings. They're shoulder blades. And everybody has them, and not everybody's an angel. And I just thought they all live, you know, righteous lives. You know, I just thought they did. I just was naive. And boy, after being in the ministry a while and praying for this one and counseling that one, I'm thinking, my gosh, what are you doing? Doing all kinds of things that Christians shouldn't be doing with their mind and with their bodies and with their lives. And I'm thinking, it's no wonder we have so much problems in the church. We've just given the devil access right and left. And so we've got to close these doors. Amen. We've got to close these doors. Now, look at Isaiah 38. This may be it. We'll see. Isaiah 38. It says in verse 1, Isaiah 38, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him, and he said unto him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Now, this is what the prophet's telling Isaiah, or Hezekiah, under the circumstances, you're going to die. You're going to die. Verse 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, and said, Lord, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is right or good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord unto Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears. Behold, I will add to your days 15 years. Now, that's an amazing story, because the Lord sent the prophet to tell him, you're going to die. You're going to die. Then he sends the prophet back and tells him, you're not going to die. You're going to live. Can't God make up his mind? Of course he can. What this is telling us is, and we don't know all about Hezekiah's life, but under the present circumstances with Hezekiah, he was going to die. And God sent the prophet and said, get your house in order, you're going to die. But isn't it good that Hezekiah had a lifestyle that matched the word? Because he said, Lord, I remind you how I've lived. I've lived the right life. I've had a perfect heart towards you. And God said, you're right. I'll give you 15 more years. Think his lifestyle had something to do with his prayer life? Right. Certainly it did. I said, certainly, it did. You know, I remember Pastor Dr. Barclay, my pastor, saying this, and I can tell this because he told it publicly, but he said, you know, his wife, Miss Vicki, back in 2008, I believe it was diagnosed with cancer. And the doctor just told him, he said, Reverend, I just want you to know, he said, I don't think we can save your wife. He said, this is a very aggressive form of cancer, and it kills most people. He said, I don't know that we can save her. And Dr. Barclay said, Doc, he said, you do what you do, and we'll do what we do. All right? You do what you do, we'll do what we do. So when they got out in the car, Miss Vicki asked Dr. Barclay, of course she calls him Mark, she doesn't call him Dr. Barclay, she says, Mark, she says, tell me the truth. You're a prophet. Am I going to live or am I going to die? He said, Vicki, I don't have anything about you're going to die. You're going to live. And that's our confession. You're going to live. He said, one day, he said, I wasn't snooping in, but Vicki was in the bedroom praying, and here's what she was saying. She said, and this isn't word for word, but this is how I remember. She said, Lord, if Mark and I have been phonies, if we haven't lived right before you, I wouldn't ask you to heal me. But we've lived right. We've lived right. Well, 30 days later, he went back to the doctor for the checkup. You know, this is an aggressive form of cancer, kills most women. He says, when I got there to the office, he said, the doctor, they did some scans on her, you know, some checking her out. The doctor had all these scans, x-rays, MRIs, whatever they are, on the table. So he starts down here and he says, Reverend, this is your wife when she first came in. This is your wife So many days later, this is your wife, and he's just talking, going along. And Dr. Barclay says, he says, "Doctor, would you get to the point, please?" The doctor said, "Excuse me, Reverend, do people interrupt you when you're preaching?" He said, "Go ahead, do your thing." He said, "Now, this is your wife today. The scans, MRIs, whatever, we took today." And he said, he says, "Well, I don't see anything." He said, "That's it. There's nothing there. It's gone." Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She hadn't had it since. Amen. And that was 2008. Amen. But thank God they were living a God kind of lifestyle. Now listen to me, not just know the promises. You got to know those. But you're living a lifestyle that matches those promises. Like Jesus said, that you may have fruit that remains, that whatever you ask the Father, He can give it to you. And a lot of this doesn't have anything to do with God saying, "I'm withholding from you." It has to do with your heart condition. Amen. Can we look at one last scripture, then we're going to receive communion? Let's go to Acts chapter 16, or chapter 10, Acts 10. And I'm going to close right here. I hope you got something out of this today. It wasn't too heavy, but, you know, it's just something that we need to know. We need to know we have to have the right kind of lifestyle. Because, you know, I meet people, you know, and they say, "Well, you know, God's not answering my prayers." And then you dig a little further and you think, well, you know, you find out the way they're living and what they're doing, what they're saying, and you can understand they're hindering their prayer life, see. They're hindering things. And we don't want to hinder our prayer life. We want our joy full. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, in Acts chapter 10, let's look at verse 34. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" Isn't that good to know? "But in every nation," that'd be right here, right? Every nation. See, at one time, Peter just thought it was the Jewish nation, but he's got revelation now. "I perceive that in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him." What's that saying? He that has a godly lifestyle, he's accepted with God. He's accepted with God. See, Peter said that his ears are open to our prayers, the prayers of the righteous. I love this. I could teach on this sometime. Proverbs 15 says that the prayer of the upright is his delight. God delights in our prayer. So he wants to answer our prayer. Our lifestyle has something to do with it. Are we living the God kind of, the Word, God Word kind of lifestyle? Or are we, like David said, is there, and I'm not accusing you, and a lot of times you preach things like this, say, "Pastor knows something about somebody today." I know a lot of things about a lot of bodies, and I don't let those bodies dictate my preaching. I know I'm not thinking about you people when I'm preaching this. I'm preaching a message. Y'all hear this? Yep. See, it's something that we all need to hear. Because I don't care where you're at, God is always going to be working on you. Because he's not done until you're conformed into the image of his Son. He's not done until you grow up into him in all things. Amen? And so I don't want this to sound like if you miss it, God's going to withhold from you. God's not the problem. The problem is your heart. It condemns you. It robs you of your faith. Because if your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. He already knows what's going on. You can't be like the guy that these guys were out witnessing. And, you know, they found this guy. They're just out on the streets witnessing. And they found this guy passed out in the alley. And so they stop. There's three of these guys. They stop. They shake him a little bit, get him roused. And they said, "We're going to pray for you." He goes, "Oh, please, don't tell God I'm drunk. Tell him I'm sick." How many of y'all, God already knows the big picture, right? Now, here's another thing that I've seen too. Well, maybe some way or another, I, you know, Maybe some way that I've offended God. Do you realize that God would tell you? Did you realize your own heart would tell you? Because I've seen that too, where people just like, under condemnation, like, man, you know, there must be some deep, dark, secret sin in my life. How could you have a deep, dark, secret sin? That's as dumb as saying there must be a tree in my yard somewhere. There either is or there isn't. There ain't no might be. There is or there isn't. And it's that way with sin. And just like this person, all right, that gave me this testimony. This is so powerful that gave me this the other day. When I stopped and said in my preaching, and I said, if you're critical of ministers, you won't receive your healing. Well, did you know that was God putting his finger on them? He told them. Now, it's not like they didn't already know. They were mature enough to know you shouldn't use your mouth to criticize people. It'll hinder you. They knew that. But God, in his mercy, pointed it out to them. This is why your pain isn't being healed. Because you've regarded iniquity in your heart. Even though it may not seem like a big thing, it is with God. I said it is with God. And God set them free. Hallelujah. And they were healed immediately. They told me, said, Pastor, as soon as you said that, I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. Thank God for repenters. Amen. Yes. Well, I'll make mistakes, right? Yes. God, forgive me. And they said, they told me, said, Pastor, immediately that pain, immediately it left me. Immediately it went. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? God's so good to us. Amen. So answered prayer, is it possible? I said, is it possible? Jesus said it is, but we have to make sure that we have a lifestyle that matches the revelation of the word that we have. Amen. If you don't know something, God will eventually get it to you. You know, when I first got saved, there's things I didn't know. After a while, God began telling me, you know, begin revealing to me. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't act that way. Don't. Amen. And you need to give people space to grow up, right? But now, if you've been in Christ for 35 years, you should have grown up some. What? Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.